flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of council, please.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Connell?
Here.
Councilmember Easton?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Onen?
Here.
Mayor Aceves?
Here. Mr. Giles, report from closed session.
Thank you, Mayor. There was an opportunity for the City Council to meet in closed session this afternoon on a number of items. Public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 with regard to the following two matters: city manager evaluation, city attorney evaluation, conference with real property negotiators, Government Code Section 54956.8 with regard to three separate parcels of property. Agency negotiator on each case was Dan Singer, city manager. Price and terms under negotiation for each. Negotiating parties: Saris Regis Group, East Group Properties, and Vermont Development Corporation and East Group Properties. And conference with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A with regard to one matter, Los Pains versus City of Goleta. There was no reportable action taken during the closed session.
Thank you, Mr. Giles. Now is the time we've allotted for public comment on those items not on this evening's agenda. No speaker slips. Okay, Mr. Singer, any amendments or adjustments to tonight's agenda?
Mr. Mayor, there are no amendments needed. However, the council, if you don't have any speaker slips for your codification item B3, you may want to take B4 and B5 before that, but that's entirely up to the council.
Okay. Let's move on to the consent calendar. Madam Clerk, if you'd read item A1 and A2.
A1, Second Amendment to Cooperative Agreement with Caltrans for the design and construction of the Hollister Cathedral Oaks Interchange Project. A2, Jones and Stokes ICF and Expanded Track 3 General Plan Amendment Environmental Review Services.
Council, any requests to pull from the consent calendar?
I move approval of
second.
The items on the consent calendar.
Been moved and seconded for item A1, A2. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
No opposition, so moved. Item B1, Madam Clerk, please read.
Authorization to establish a multi-way stop-controlled intersection at Los Canaris Road and Calle Real.
Mr. Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Your staff monitors traffic collisions at various intersections throughout the city. And when we see a trend or whatnot, we try to determine what type of improvements may mitigate the collision trend or make it more safe for cars and vehicles through that intersection. One such intersection that is shown an increased collision rate is Los Canaros at Calle Real. Staff looked at various striping modifications to improve safety and to date have not been able to eliminate what appears to be a recurring potential for a collision. Los Canaros transitions from four lanes to two lanes heading north from Highway 101, and if you've ever been in the Calle Real leg of that intersection trying to turn left onto Los Canaros heading south, the cars in the right-hand turn lane have a tendency to block and obstruct the view of cars heading through the intersections. And so what we've seen is a high incident of those types of collisions where cars heading through the intersection collide with a left turn movement. One way to mitigate this is the placement of stop signs or some type of control at the intersection. Staff conducted a traffic warrant analysis. This is a process that's it's an engineering analysis done to determine whether or not the intersection meets certain warrants or criteria for the establishment of intersection control. And that those studies have been done, and this intersection does meet the warrants for establishment of a stop sign at this location. They also, the intersection would also meet the warrant analysis for a signalized intersection at this location. What staff is recommending for your consideration tonight is that you approve a resolution authorizing the establishment of a stop-controlled intersection. Right now, Los Caneros has a stop sign. I'm sorry, Cali Real has a stop sign, and there's no control in the north-south direction of Los Caneros. We're recommending stop signs for three-way control or all-way control at this intersection as an interim measure to analyze further improvements, possibly either a full signalized intersection or pursuant to our own general plan, we'd look at the possibility or feasibility of a roundabout at this location. We think given the nature of the turning movements and the undeveloped properties to the west of the intersection, it might be feasible to do a roundabout at this location. But tonight, we're recommending the establishment by ordinance a new stop-controlled intersection so we could put stop signs on Los Caneros to mitigate that traffic collision potential that I described.
Council, any questions of staff? Mr. Easton.
I understand from the standpoint of bicyclists, this is not a happy proposition in that they will lose their momentum coming down that hill. Am I correct?
They would have to obey the stop sign also, yes.
Yeah. This would not be true of a signalized intersection, of a traffic circle.
That's correct. The bicycle, well, in entering a roundabout, you'd have to yield to vehicles in the roundabout.
Have you any idea what the cost implications of a traffic circle might be there as opposed to any other alternatives?
Order of magnitude, full intersection improvements could be between $200,000 and $300,000. That's for a signalized intersection controller, all the mast arms, signal poles, light heads, everything. A cost of a roundabout is really dependent on the right-of-way that's necessary because there's no hard costs associated with lights. It's much less intensive that way, but it's more intensive on right-of-way. So to answer your question quickly, we don't know right now what that would be. This site lends itself to that type of application mainly because of the undeveloped area to the west of the intersection that could help accommodate the size necessary to get a roundabout at that location.
Thank you very much.
If I could, Mayor Aceves, a question for Mr. Wagner. How will you monitor? One of the concerns is that it will create some backups or create some other problems in that intersection. And how will we monitor and how could we respond should that be the outcome of this?
One of the things we did is we actually ran a computer model based on the observed traffic counts called Synchro. That is actually a visual representation of traffic or vehicle movement through the intersection, delay, and stacking, and we ran our various peak counts through it. The Highway 101 off-ramp is some 500 feet to the south of this intersection. At approximately 20 feet per car, that's, 20 cars, if I did my math right. That's a pretty good stack. But depending on the slug of northbound traffic coming to make that right-hand turn, there could be a potential for that. The Synchro model didn't show that that were the case because we had plenty of stacking. If a queue is released across and it does hit that stop sign, they don't all stop and wait. They'll continue to peel off and make that maneuver. Okay? If it were, say, worst case, to back up into the intersection at the off-ramp, the cars that are in the intersection that may block the off-ramp traffic would very quickly clear the intersection because cars are, again, continuing to make that maneuver. So at worst case, it would be a 5-10 second delay on the green light for those cars that went in and got stuck in the intersection when the green light turned to clear and the ramp would flush. So we really don't think it's a significant impact or a real potential impact to the intersections. How would we monitor it? We would continue to monitor after installation to see if this is an occurrence. If it were a regular occurrence, although we don't think it is, but were, other options could be the establishment of a yield maneuver. Similar, you'd still have a stop sign, but similar to what you have at Stork and Hollister, where you've got the right turn yield and a pork chop separated island, where the right turns can continue, but the through direction is stopped. So there is some tweaking we can look at if that were the case. But based on our analysis, based on the peaks that we've looked at and our synchro analysis, we don't see that happening.
Now, what would you, and I mean, you mentioned that part of the process here would be to address the potential of a traffic circle roundabout. How, what do you anticipate a timeline to be able to determine right-of-way issues or things like that?
That could be done fairly quickly on a feasibility analysis to get order of magnitude right-of-way required, probably within 2 months, we could have a conceptual feasibility analysis done. At that point, if it looked feasible based on our first review, we'd come back to council probably with a design services contract to initiate full design if there were the need. There's the potential, and what we believe based on what we've seen is that the stops installation of the stop signs based on the current volumes are going to be enough to solve the problem and fix with the problem. Okay? If we have to take that next step, volumes increase, that right turn stack becomes a problem. There are some intermediate things we can do before we have to pay and go forward construction on a full signal or roundabout. This is a phased approach. It is the first interim step to cure the collision problem.
Thank you.
Mr. Wagner, I just had a couple of questions. I noticed the survey was done on December 2nd, which is a Tuesday. And then you showed a traffic count of 10,978. That's average daily trips. That's for that Tuesday, we had 10,978 cars go through. Is that how I read that?
Are you looking at the warrant analysis?
On page 11 of the analysis.
I'm trying to find where you're at. Are you on the
traffic engineering report, high incidence intersection report?
Okay, the entering ADT volume is the average daily traffic to that total volume entering that intersection on average daily.
Okay, so that's, if I read the report then, for December 2nd, which was a Tuesday, we had almost 11,000 cars go through the intersection. And I don't know if December 2nd was a school day or not. It'd be interesting when you do your evaluation to see what Fridays look like. And see if those numbers change any, and maybe that will give us a better analysis of that intersection.
There are actually several peaks at this intersection. When we conduct counts for level of service analysis, we usually don't count Monday or Fridays. We count Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursdays midweek during school. Okay, there's too much variability. There's a lot of variability in general in traffic counts. Can be close to 30%. So depending on what day you are and what's going on, there's a high variability. So you count multiple days to get a better average day. This 10,000 or 11,000 ADT is based on several counts, historical counts for that location.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to congratulate you also on the report. It's well done with the diagrams and showing the collision factors as to how those collisions occurred. So. Council.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second to authorize the establishment of a multi-way stop sign control intersection. Any comments on the motion?
This is obviously the best interim measure to move ahead. I certainly would like to see an analysis of the roundabout as we move into the future. I think we're going to, we have a number of roundabouts on the drawing boards for our city, and so I think this is a viable way to go. It does keep traffic moving, and we should be looking at that.
Mr. Mayor. I regret I was out of order in that I did not specify what I was moving. I would like to move resolution number 09, next in series, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, authorizing the installation of additional stop signs, establishing a multi-way controlled intersection on Los Canaros Road at Calle Real intersection. I believe my seconder will join me in that.
Absolutely.
Good. We have legally complied with the reading of the resolution, so no further comments. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? See none. Pass unanimously. Thank you. Item B2.
That is 07-007 TPM-DP and 07-167 DPAM Marriott Residence Inn, Hollister Center Project, Hollister Avenue, APN 073-050-020.
Mr. Giles.
Mayor, members of the council, the this matter comes before you on a request of the applicant. The applicant received approval on November 18th of last year for a Marriott Residence Inn at 6300 Hollister Avenue based on a mitigated negative declaration. The city and the applicant were sued based on an allegation that an environmental impact report was required. The applicant has decided to resubmit the project for review and approval based upon an EIR. That process and study is ongoing. The applicant requests at this time a withdrawal of the approvals to facilitate this process. Staff concurs with this, and staff is available to answer any questions the council might have.
Thank you very much. Good evening, members of the council. If there are any questions, Tony Rozak from Artie Olson, the applicant, is available in the audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Direction from council.
I'll move adoption of resolution 09, and I'll leave the full reading of that to our city clerk if we're seconded.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Madam Clerk, would you read the resolution?
Resolution 09, next in number, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, rescinding resolution number 08-59, adoption of final mitigated negative declaration and acceptance of addendum dated August 1st, 2008, and rescinding resolution 08-60, approval of tentative parcel map development plan for the Marriott Residence Inn and development plan amendment for the Hollister Center Project, 6300 Hollister Avenue, 07-007 TPM DP, 07-167 DPAM, that's APN number 073-050-020.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion or deliberation by council? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Item B3.
B3, codification of the Goleta Municipal Code.
Mr. Giles.
Mayor, members of the council, this item comes before you that really dates back from the first actions of the city. When the city was incorporated in 2002, the city had an instant need for a set of laws to govern the city. And the city chose to bring across those laws that the county had in place at that point in time and make them applicable. That was certainly what the public was used to dealing with. So the second action of the first city council was to adopt all of the county ordinances by reference with an explanation of changing words such as county to city to make them applicable.
The intention at that time was that as the city got its feet under it and had an opportunity to move past those first stages, that they would go back and adopt a code which was truly reflective of the community values and community interest of the residents of Goleta. Since that time, over the ensuing 7 years, the council has adopted specific ordinances that it has considered that do reflect the policy considerations for the city of Goleta. What we bring forward to you today is an opportunity to take the county code that was adopted in mass back in 2002 and has been the backbone of the city of Goleta municipal code, and take a look at it and remove those elements that purely relate to items in the county and do not relate to the city, and intersperse within that those ordinances that the council has in the ensuing years considered and adopted. And with that product, which is presented for your review today, to then go forward and have a publishing company publish this as a single document, which would be the Goleta Municipal Code. That document would be available in a binder format. It would also be available online and much more convenient for staff and the public to use as a workable document, understanding and applying the laws of the city of Goleta. Staff has engaged outside resources as well as a number of staff resources in the melding process and trying to truly come up with a document that represents what the council has intended, so that we can have as a starting point a municipal code that truly meets the needs of the city of Goleta. There is no intent in the documents that are before you to make any policy changes or policy directions. It truly is an attempt to try and capture the sense of the policy decisions that have already been made by the council. It's not our expectation that the document that we're placing before you would be the final document for the city. It's our expectation that it begins a good process, that as we go forward, the council will identify and the public will identify areas where the current code does not reflect the true policy considerations of the city and of the city council, and that revisions should and can be made, and we will address those. The thought is to address those when it's appropriate to apply the proper amount of analysis and council opportunity for thought, evaluation, and input in considering those policy changes. With that, we have a rather thick packet of materials which we provided to you. We apologize for the size of it, but I guess the caveat with that is that it was much larger when it contained all of the different things that applied to North County or to specific areas in the inland areas of the county or just areas that of jurisdiction that the county is responsible for and that the city is not responsible for. Our hope is that you have had an opportunity to at least familiarize yourself with it to some extent, and at this time in this discussion item to ask any questions that you might have as we go through that and have those considerations resolved. Our intention is that once we have the council's input and a few other polishing areas that staff would like to make sure we address, to make sure we truly are capturing council's policy directions, this item will be brought back to you for initiation as a new replacement ordinance to replace those ordinances that we do have in place. And after it has a second reading and adoption and takes effect, it will be sent to the publishing company, and we will proceed to publish it in book format and an electronic format. And with that, staff is available for any questions. I would note that the ordinance committee has had an opportunity to review this material and to discuss with staff the process and, to some extent, some of the substance of the changes that are proposed herein.
Council, any questions?
Mayor Savis, I was hoping we could get some kind of a report from the Ordinance Committee as to any issues or specific concerns that they may have had.
I'll start. Well, first of all, I want to thank our city clerk, Deborah Constantino, and our city attorney for the work they did to get this done. It was no small task. And if you see this stack, I mean, Councilmember Connell has her stack in front of her. I left mine in my office. But I assure you that both Councilmember East and I went through every single page, not only in the form you see here, but also in the discussion with council and also outside council. We had, I'm forgetting his name.
Bill Connors,
I'm sorry, who is an expert in this field and guide us through the process. If you notice, the documents are very easy to read as far as where the changes were made. Understanding that, as the city attorney has mentioned, there's been no laws or policies changing. We are just merely changing the language from the county to the city and getting rid of the stuff that doesn't belong, like whether it should be a traffic signal or orchid or not. This is a very exciting time for us to actually have our own Goleta Municipal Code that's ours to be able to have and change in the future as we move on. Councilman Easton, your input.
For a new council member, it was an education, both in terms of seeing the breadth of things and the complexity of the ordinances that we have to deal with those things, but also from the standpoint of realizing that we are, as a council, part of a process that has produced that code and will continue to produce a new and different code every time council meets. And that's the record of all those people working not necessarily to make government simple, but to make it fair and to make it work. Now, I was really impressed, and I intend to do a far more intensive review when it's in somewhat more readable order.
Councilman Bennett, you and I actually got this started a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I would like to say that, once again, I would offer up my thank yous as well for our city clerk and our city attorney for pushing this forward and getting a process finished, and we're almost at the end where we can actually have an adopted code that reflects Goleta. And I think that's just critically important, and I'm just so happy to see it finally happen. I think that's just absolutely great. And it's a living document. It's one that will continue to change, as Councilmember Easton just said, in regards to the ordinances that we continue to adopt will continue to go into the code book. But it'll be much easier for the residents of the city of Goleta to be able to follow that, because it'll be put together in topic. It'll be able to be the information will be able to be accessible by computer. So that'll make it that much easier. So I think everyone really wins on this. This is a tremendous win-win situation, and I can't wait for it to finally be brought to us so we can adopt it and then move forward from there.
Councilmember McConnell.
Well, I certainly appreciate all the work that's been done. I must say, when I got this pile of stuff, I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was actually confused about particularly the part that's in the clip here, because I kept finding this stuff about orchid, and actually City Clerk Deborah Constantino set me straight on that, but that was all stuff that was supposed to be deleted. I look forward to getting the book, which has all of our code in it, and I think, apart from anything else, it will be much more accessible to us as council members to see what we do have on the books, and also will enable us perhaps to pinpoint some of the areas where we need to look at changes. So I appreciate the work.
Thank you. I don't think, Mr. Giles, do we need a motion, or we just have consensus to move forward to October 6th for the first reading of the ordinance?
That's correct. If there's no council questions or direction, then staff will be prepared to bring this back next meeting.
Great. Consensus to bring it back, first reading for our first Goleta Municipal Code on October 6th.
Thank you.
Okay, item B4.
B4, professional services agreement for the San Jose Creek Capacity Improvement Project.
Ms. Gaglione, do you have the chair?
If I can get it to work.
It's working. It's on.
Okay. Good evening. This is for the San Jose Creek Capacity Project. This project, as you know, has gone through several evolutions. When we began, we looked at replacing the Hollister Avenue Bridge over San Jose Creek and widening the trapezoidal channel. Then we had to add a fish passage component. We realized that with the expense that we would try to save that bridge, and we designed a channel sort of around keeping the bridge and altering the abutments to increase the flow capacity of the bridge. This would save us about $6 million because with a healthy bridge, if you want to replace it, you're not going to get any help from the Highway Bridge Program. Now, peer review is a common process that you do in a project like this. And as we went through the process, you have outside engineers who are looking at the design assumptions and the design elements, looking for problems so that you can catch them before you go out to construction. And the peer review revealed potential inconsistencies or insufficiencies in the geotechnical investigations and the soil studies process. So staff was making arrangements to have additional soil studies and sampling done when a visual inspection was made of the Hollister Avenue Bridge, which revealed evidence of reactive aggregate and vertical settling. So Caltrans is going to go ahead and do a supplemental inspection within the next 30 days. And if the bridge is in the condition that both the city and Caltrans believe it's in, then we would be eligible for replacement under the Highway Bridge Program, which means that that program would pay for 88.5% of the replacement of the bridge. This turn of events is it's unfortunate and it's fortunate all at the same time. It slows us down. It forces us to back up and look at the design of the whole project. But it allows us to look at it in a new way. We don't have to now try to work this design around a bridge that we can't afford to replace. We have the ability to have a new bridge design with a slim profile, with a wider opening, allowing good flow. It also would allow us to build a channel that would be cheaper to construct, because what we were doing was really pretty pretty challenging. The angles and different things we were going to have to use to build this would be expensive to construct. And those were some of the comments that we heard. But the money we save by not replacing the bridge, you know, more than made up for that. So when the Highway Bridge Program funds or design and construction of a bridge replacement, they pay for 200 feet of the roadway on either side of the bridge to conform to existing, and they would also, in this case, pay for 200 feet on either side of the channel. So there's some, you know, these the transitions and everything would be paid for 88.5% by the Highway Bridge Program. The and as I said, the channel geometry that we could use would be much cheaper to construct in this instance. So we also found that the soils were much more complex than what we had thought. There were some areas of some slide or slippage areas that we weren't aware of. The soils changed quite a bit up through the channel, the reach of the channel, so we do need to have the additional investigation. So given the combination of the complex hydraulics, the soils, and the structural components, we opted to search for a firm that could do all of these things in-house. It had a track record of successfully delivering challenging projects. We went out for an RFQ process and evaluated several firms, and we decided that we would recommend that Bengal Engineering be awarded a contract by the council to move forward. Bengal Engineering's local firm specializes in projects involving complex combinations of geotechnical, structural, and hydraulic components. Now, this is impressive. Since 2001, Bengal Engineering has been the recipient of the American Public Works Association Project of the Year Award 5 times, the American Society of Civil Engineers Project of the Year Award, California Society of Professional Engineers Central Coast Project of the Year, and a National Association of Counties Achievement Award. They have successfully done a number of projects. They've worked with the Army Corps of Engineers, with the U.S. Air Force. They've worked with Fish and Wildlife Service. They've worked with Santa Barbara County Flood Control, Caltrans Structures and Local Assistance, and other flood control districts. Their reputation is that they're very creative. So they develop creative and innovative solutions that usually have ended up saving the owners of projects a considerable amount of money. They do the, you know, thinking outside of the box quite well. When the geotechnical work is complete, and about $200,000 of this contract is just for sampling, boring and sampling and laboratory testing and geotechnical evaluation, once that's done, then Bengal would work with staff to determine how much of the existing work we can save and how much needs to be redone in order to move this project forward. All things going well, final design could begin in late February. And in all likelihood, this would be a two-stage project. We would hope that the lower portion of the channel could begin construction next summer. But given the process we have to go through with FHWA for the bridge, I don't think that we could possibly reach that by next summer. We would get the lower portion done and then come back the next year to install the new bridge. So I'd be happy to take any questions.
Council President. Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
This project may be more than 400 feet from my property, but the effect of this project could very well influence my property. Thereby, I recuse myself from it.
We'll call you back when we're done. Councilman Bennett.
Yes, well, I'd like to make a few couple of observations on this. As was presented by staff, there's some good things about this and not so good things. The not so good thing, of course, we're looking at a project timeline that looks like can't be delivered, at least the portion, the upper portion, until as late as 2011. And this is really, really disappointing because we've been working on this thing for so long. And it's not anyone's fault. It's just the way the circumstances are and it's the way the process works. However, I would like to, and get support from the rest of the council members, one of the things that I early on had requested was to put a bicycle path underneath Hollister Avenue. As many of you probably know, there has been a proposed bicycle link along San Jose Creek, and it's proposed to go under Highway 101 and the railroad, as an example where the creek currently exists. I was told that with the fish passage approach into this thing, that option kind of went away with the existing bridge. There just wasn't the room to do everything. And I was very disappointed by that. Now that we appear to be going to remove the bridge, I would surely like to see council concurrence that the engineering firm be directed to include in their analysis the placing of a bikeway underneath Hollister Avenue so that the bikeway doesn't have to interact with the traffic that exists along Hollister Avenue and can go south as is proposed, ultimately connecting with the University bike path and the Atascadero Creek bike path, which is the ultimate goal. And this would really enhance the experience. When I used to live elsewhere in Goleta, from where I live now, I used to live adjacent to the Santa Maria Ignacia Creek bike path that goes underneath Hollister Avenue, and it was just great because you could travel everywhere you wanted to go, essentially, without interacting with traffic, and that was just fabulous. And this is another link in that process that we can pull off. So for me, as disappointed as I am about the length of time that we may go forward on this thing, that's extremely disappointing, but at the same time, the fact that we can envision this bicycle path, which I think is a tremendous advantage an improvement for our community, that we get that out of it as a result of this unforeseen change. And I would hope that the geostudies would support putting a bike path down there so that we can enhance that experience for our community. So I'd ask the rest of the council for their support of that request.
Does staff want to weigh in on that issue?
We will be more than happy to go ahead and examine that and have the consultant put that together as in the alternatives selection to flood control. And ultimately, we do have to sell that to flood control to have the bike path there. But we also agree that it's a great time to try and put that in there.
Was there not CDBG money set aside for that?
Specifically for?
For the bike path.
Further up.
Okay. Councilman McConnell.
Well, first, I would certainly support the idea of exploring the bike path option. I think that would be wonderful when you think of all the people in Old Town who could just get on bikes and ride to Goleta Beach. That'd be a wonderful benefit. I'm curious, you know, one of the things we've been, sort of a mantra we've been saying for years is, well, we can't do a whole lot about Hollister Avenue until we've resolved the flooding problem. As I listen to you, it almost seems like there might be things that are being done on the channel prior to the bridge being put in, which might have enough impact on the flood problem that you could move ahead with some of the projects for Hollister even before the bridge is there. Is that a possibility?
Yes. We actually, in the next month or so, will be coming to you with a contract award for a parking analysis for Old Town, which is necessary to see what the demands are and what we can do with some of those cars, because in order to make significant changes along Hollister to achieve the desired effect, we have to examine parking. And we will be going out for requests for qualifications for a firm for the Hollister redesign in the next month or two. We're also working on that. So, yes, we're not going to slow down on Hollister. We're going to continue to advance. And, yes, just getting the lower reach in will reduce some of the flooding. Even with the constriction of the bridge, water has a place to come back around and come in if you have capacity there.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously this is something we've been talking about for years, and the sooner we can get something moving, I mean, you know, I think, you know, regardless of our local papers' comments, we know a lot has happened in Old Town over the last few years, but this is the big one, the big one that we have to resolve in order to do some of the things that will be more visible in many ways to the people who live there and have more impact on their daily lives.
Well, if I might, something that's not really exciting or romantic, but we've been going through the project study report process with Caltrans for the Equifowler project and the roundabouts on Hollister, and it's kind of grueling, but we are about 90% of the way through that process. We've been very successful in getting all of our studies approved, and we've made significant headway there, and that's something you don't see, you know, out there, but we're working very hard behind the scenes, and Caltrans is working very well with us, and everybody's putting forth a great effort to get that done.
That's also been something that's been out there a long time, but anyway, I appreciate your work on it.
I'll just comment that I do support the concept of identifying if we can have a undercrossing for the bike path, and I obviously would make the same comments. The timeline is distressing. It is the proverbial money pit of the fixer-upper house that you never get finished. So as stated by staff, it seems like each step of the way through this process, we've had setbacks that have looked like they're going to increase costs, and yet they have aided in the design that have allowed us to still be able to progress. So I hope the result of this is the same. Obviously, there's still some exploration to do. It is amazing to see that now we're talking about February of 2011 to get to the final
No, we could actually begin final design in this coming February, but construction for the bridge portion wouldn't occur till 2011 because of the FHWA process.
Yeah, but At any rate, I guess we need to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We are.
I can. Are you ready for a motion?
Well, I was going to make some comments, but I think everybody said what I wanted to say. So go ahead with your motion. I do want to stop
the mayor from making comments. I would move to authorize the city manager to execute a professional services agreement with Bengal Engineering Incorporated for geotechnical engineering investigation and design services for San Jose Creek Improvement Project for an amount not to exceed $524,074.
Second.
Motion and a second. In discussion. Did I see this as a Glida company?
Yeah, actually, they are a local firm.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So it passed unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item B5.
We get Ed back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's get Mr. Councilman Easton back.
He's coming.
Item B5, consideration of a new purchasing ordinance.
Mrs. Green.
Thank you, Mayor Sevis and council members. We're before you tonight with a new matter of business. It's regarding a new purchasing system for the city of Goleta. In 2002, when the city incorporated, a preliminary purchasing system was adopted by ordinance. I would say that it had a lot of the baseline standards, but not a lot of detail about what a typical municipal purchasing system should have. It's serviced us fairly well, but at this point in our history, we really need a more sophisticated purchasing system. One of the things that the original system was lacking, which is very notable, especially in light of our previous item, was specific provisions for public works construction procurement. Now, we've been lucky that our staff is very aware of what the uniform construction cost accounting system entails. We've had good legal counsel on that, but we haven't had an ordinance in-house that really had clear-cut guidelines of how to go about complicated types of purchasing. The adoption of a new purchasing ordinance was also identified in your strategic plan as one of the objectives, and it was also a recommendation of our financial auditors. So it's time that we move on and consider a new ordinance. When staff began this project, we conducted a survey of 9 other municipalities, looked at what their purchasing ordinances and policies contained, and we came up with a draft that we feel is very inclusive. And we put it through an exhaustive review on the department level with all the various departments, the city manager, the city attorney, and also our ordinance committee. Now, I just want to point out a few of the provisions in the proposed ordinance which are different and we feel are important highlights to bring to your attention, because as you see in your packet, we've included the entire ordinance, but it's pretty lengthy, pretty detailed, and it's difficult to get to the meat of what the significant changes are. So I'm just going to go over a few. As with our previous ordinance, the purchasing officer is assigned the primary duties of making sure that the ordinance is carried out properly and that purchasing is conducted in the proper manner. The purchasing officer is the city manager in both the current ordinance and the proposed ordinance. The city manager, of course, has the authority to designate this function to other members of staff as he or she sees fit. The city manager's authority to award contracts or authorize purchases in our current ordinance is up to $20,000. In the proposed ordinance, we've made a slight change. We're recommending a limit of $30,000 instead. And we find that from the feedback we received from staff that this is probably going to be helpful in the efficient conduct of city business and purchasing, but we also feel that it's a conservative increase. It's not too much, and it's not too little, basically. The new ordinance also includes guidelines for sole source purchases, urgencies, emergency purchases, piggybacking with other governmental entities in order to get the best unit price possible for purchases. Our current ordinance doesn't include any of those things. There's also a section that gives preference to recycled, energy efficient, and environmentally friendly supply purchases. This would be new to the city. Our current ordinance doesn't address that at all. There's also a provision for a local preference of up to 5% for vendors that are within city limits. The current ordinance does not contain a provision of that type. And as I've said, one of our major goals was to make changes that would incorporate the uniform construction cost accounting procedures into an ordinance, and the draft ordinance does do that in sufficient detail. Also in the draft ordinance are provisions for the procurement of professional services that are a lot more detailed and a lot clearer than what the current ordinance contains. In the staff report, I've provided a table which outlines types of procurement. The reason why I did that is, again, to make it easier for council and the public to get an idea of what the basics of the ordinance are and what it contains. So for each type of procurement, whether it's supplies and equipment, professional services, or public works projects, we've indicated in the table the methods of purchasing, such as purchase order, petty cash, or contract, the procurement process, whether it's a requirement of informal bids or formal bids, or in some cases no bids at all, and also the individual or the body responsible for authorizing the purchases, whether it's the department directors, city manager, or the city council. Now, I want to point out, as I touched on earlier, but I really want to emphasize so that council's clear, when there are purchases or projects or professional services that come in above the $30,000 limit, council will be asked to consider those purchases or contracts, et cetera, and give approval if they deem it acceptable. So your role will still be very active in our larger contracts, our larger equipment purchases, and projects as well. Just to really summarize it down, purchases from, you know, $1 to $10,000 would be done at the department level for the most part. There will be some purchases between $25,000 and $10,000 that the city manager's purchasing officer will give his or her concurrence and approval as well. $10,000 up would solely be at the discretion of the city manager, and it's $10,000 to $30,000, and as I've said, $30,000 and up would be city council approval. It was on July 30th that our ordinance committee met and reviewed the draft. They were generally, I feel, pretty positive about it and supportive of staff's efforts to revise, actually to replace what we have with a new ordinance. Council member Easton and Mayor Seves were able to give us constructive input, principally in the area of how we would implement the provisions of the ordinance. And we talked about how this is a first step. This ordinance would provide in our municipal code the very important guidelines that staff would then follow. We also pointed out that a series of policies will follow after adoption of the ordinance, whereby staff will bring to you a purchasing policy, which is going to outline internally how do we make these types of purchases happen. And the reason why we would ask for your support and approval of such a document is we really need a roadmap for our staff that says, okay, this is how we've interpreted the ordinance, and these are the guidelines you need to follow when making these types of purchases. This will hopefully come to you in the next couple of months, and will be reflective of what's in the ordinance. So you won't see anything new. You'll just see the roadmap, as I said, that staff will be using internally. Of course, you do have an alternative here. You don't need to go forward with the adoption of this ordinance. Staff, of course, doesn't recommend that, principally because the city's needs have changed, and we need a purchasing system which reflects how we do business today and is more supportive of the types of procurement that we're going to be engaging in the future. So that's my overview. I'm happy to answer questions that you have.
Thank you. Questions from council? Councilmember Bennett.
Michelle, one question I have. I'm very supportive of what you're proposing here and what the committee has supported. But I thought that the petty cash amount at $50 was a little bit light. And I'm not sure what the city manager might think about that, but I'm thinking in terms of trying to keep things simple, trying not to create more money. And I know years ago, county auditor did a little study and found that it cost about $47 to write a check, and that petty cash was a far more efficient and effective way to go about doing business. So I'm just throwing out $100 or $150 in petty cash as an idea. I don't have a real strong feeling about this, but it seems to me that if we're looking at efficiencies and means to accomplish tasks, given where we're at today and the cost of things, that it would seem to me that a petty cash fund that could kind of meet those standards would be far more efficient and effective than writing checks. Just a thought.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, you'd certainly want to consult with our finance director, but I would think that that would be an efficiency and don't see any issues with it on its face. From a procedural standpoint, I'd have to defer to the city attorney as to whether or not you could adopt first reading with that amendment and then therefore not have to have us come back to you with an amendment so that you could do second reading and adopt that change as a result.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Bennett, with respect to the issue as it was framed by the city manager, we could move forward with a first reading as long as the council identifies discrete modifications to the proposed ordinance and so it is clear what the ordinance is that's being introduced. So if as I understand it, Councilmember Bennett's suggestion would be on page 6 of the ordinance, it's page 12 of the item, section 3.12.104 regarding methods of purchasing identifies petty cash purchases in amount less than $50. That, if it's council's direction, that could be modified, and with that modification we could move forward. And I will continue to review the ordinance myself as we're here, and Ms. Green might have a further comment as to whether or not that number applies elsewhere, and we want to make sure we catch it all at the same time.
This number has been the informal practice of the finance department. I agree with our city manager. It'll be important to consult with the finance director to see if she's comfortable with increasing that limit. I don't know if that practice has been suggested by auditors or not. It may have, but we'll certainly consult with her. If there are any issues, we'll let you know at second reading, I suppose. But I would think this change would probably be allowable.
Additionally, is the ordinance is a grant of authority to staff. It sets the parameters. So council could allow petty cash allowances for a higher number, but in policy implementation, staff may not choose to exercise all of the authority that's granted to them and may continue to adopt a policy which sets it at $50 if there are reasons to do so.
I,
I don't see what the difficulty is on this. I think we can change the number. The petty cash fund is going to be audited like all our other funds.
Exactly.
So if we make it $100 or $150, it's not going to change our audit system. It's just going to allow for additional latitude with regards to reimbursements.
That's
for
correct.
Expenses. So I'd be in favor of supporting the change now so we can include it in the first reading rather than coming back later and delaying the process. Understanding, as our city attorney mentioned, that if this is mentioned anywhere else in the ordinance, that that also be, that change be reflected. So, Councilman Bennett, do you have a particular number that you...
I would like to... is it appropriate to go ahead and make an motion to make the amendment?
Well, why don't we... Well, we haven't gone through the rest of council comments, so I would just set a number, and then we'll just include that.
I would recommend $150.
Okay, any further comments on the ordinance? Councilor Easton.
The idea that one might present this information visually in a chart, that I didn't recommend that, annoys the God out of me, because that makes it all so very clear.
You're allowed one.
Let's see. Well, I'm going to pass out another pat, which is that when we read this in the ordinance committee, I was struck by the complexity of it at all. And in reading this again, preparing for this meeting, I discovered that the codification that this has gone through using the code processes and organization has resulted in an organization of this information that is far more clear and far more understandable. So there are two members of the staff should be commended, one for the chart and two for the codification.
Anybody else?
I can support the change.
Okay. No, I too want to, it's just totally impressive seeing it in our municipal code format. And it's just wonderful. Here we are moving forward with our own ordinance, and we're already changing it and adding to it. So, but this, I'm sure, will be included after it goes through our process. So, do I have a motion to introduce and conduct the first reading with the amendment change to 3.24.104 and other sections reflecting the petty cash increase from 50 to 150?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Madam Clerk, would you please read the ordinance?
That's ordinance number 09, next in order, entitled an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, repealing and replacing Title III, Chapter 24 of the Goleta Municipal Code relating to the City of Goleta purchasing system.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
No opposition. Question to staff, this will return on what date?
This will be back on.
Sorry. We're planning on having this return at your next meeting, which is September 15th.
September 15th. Very good. Thank you very much. Item B6.
Library Ad Hoc Committee.
Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. You'll recall that during your budget workshops and budget discussions, that a significant topic of concern was around our library funding and the long-term viability of our library based on expenses exceeding the revenues that were received and contributed towards the system. As a result, there was interest by the Friends of the Library to come forward with a donation offering $50,000 each of the next two fiscal years to help guarantee that library services would not be cut too severely, and that we would have an opportunity not to close on Mondays, which was at that time proposed, and to stay open for at least, I think it's 5 hours on Monday So that, or maybe, six. It might be six.
2 to 8.
Thank you. In any event, this report isn't to talk so much about those details, just by way of background to remind you that what was clear was that a further challenge for the city and the County of Santa Barbara, who both share in the responsibility for the Goleta Library and its funding, needed to come together and look at longer-term solutions. And the council acknowledged that during your budget adoption hearings and suggested that efforts get underway to look into an additional library tax. This would be similar to the current assessment district, which roughly relates to about a $20 fee to each single-family residential parcel that contributes to helping that library stay staffed and funded and up to date in terms of their books and materials. Well, up until the budget discussions, the city was being represented not only by staff but by members of your finance committee, which has been for the last year Mayor Aceves and Mayor Pro Tem Annan. And now that it's clear what the charge ahead is, which is to work with a task force made up of representatives from the county, especially Supervisor Farr and Supervisor Wolf's districts, and members from the city of Santa Barbara, because they're the ones staffing our library, as well as other supporters like representative from the Library Commission and possibly the Friends, that it might be more appropriate for you to establish a specific library funding ad hoc committee. So we've put together a resolution that would establish that committee. We feel that an ad hoc committee is more appropriate in this instance than relying on your finance committee for a couple of reasons. The first is that this is a single focus committee that when the issue of funding expires, the committee can then expire. Your finance committee is a standing committee that requires us to post agendas, to have fairly regular and consistent meetings. We have them quarterly, and it makes it a little more cumbersome for that committee to then continue with the effort to represent the city in this respect because of the requirements we have for the postings and note-taking. The ad hoc committee would work alongside staff as it has and represent the city and the council on this task force, but ultimately whatever suggestions come forward as a result of this effort, those would come to the full city council and would be fully vetted before the public. So it's our suggestion that you consider establishing the ad hoc committee. You may want to continue to appoint Mayor Aceves and Mayor Pro Tem Annan in that they have been the two people closest to this issue, but that is at the council's full discretion, and staff would be happy to answer any questions that you have and looks to your guidance on this issue.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Singer. Any questions of City Manager? Okay, seeing none, let's handle item A, the resolution. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll move approval of the resolution of the City Council of City Goleta establishing a council ad hoc library committee.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
No opposition.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilman Easton.
In order to assure domestic tranquility in the mayor's household, I would like to nominate Margaret Connell and Eric Onan to be the members of the ad hoc committee.
Okay, motion and a second. Do I have a second? Dies for lack of a second. Do we have another motion? I didn't pull my name off.
Inasmuch as the mayor already has household representation on the at the library, it seemed appropriate to me to not confront him with a potential conflict of interest, which could prove divisive. Is your wife not?
The council's appointed my wife as the council's liaison to the Library Advisory Committee, which is a different group.
Oh, I understand that, but you could have two different positions on the same issue.
Well,
I would like to be a personal advocate, if I may. Well, not just say for personally, but to make a case. I appreciate that the Finance Committee has made the initial contacts with the Board of Supervisors. I understand from Supervisor Wolf's office that they are getting some legal advice on some of the matters related to an election. I think that now we're moving into a different kind of phase where we'll be looking at the timing, if we're moving to an election, the amount that we would be asking for, and political feasibility. And, you know, I believe I have some contacts and skills that I can bring to that, and I would very much like to be part of this effort.
Might I try another motion, Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
I would like to nominate Margaret Connell to be a member of the Ad Hoc Library Committee. May I get a second from that, from someone?
Well,
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we have one appointee at this point, Margaret Connell. Discussion? See none? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I think to get us off the dime here, if I may, Mr. Mayor, I can jump in here. If I could ask our city attorney, is there in fact a conflict or not a conflict? I guess that's the issue that people are concerned about.
Thank you, Mayor, Councilmember Bennett. I have had an opportunity to discuss this matter with the mayor, and based upon the information that I have and the roles that are played, it does not appear that there is a legal conflict under either the Political Reform Act, Government Code Section 1090, or under any of the city's rules or policies. However, my advice in that is always independent of each individual council member's obligation with respect to the conflict of interest laws, and there is always the appearance of impropriety or the appearance of a potential conflict of interest, and those are matters that are left to the discretion of those making the appointment. But as to your question, from a legal standpoint, I have not determined that any such legal conflict does exist.
Okay. Well, I think the issue that came up as to the makeup of the committee is the comment on the second paragraph on page 2 of the staff recommendation. It says, and a Goleta representative to the Library Advisory Commission, which in fact is the mayor's wife, and that's the issue. I mean, I think that's what was raised and why it raised the issue. So there is no other representative, if I'm correct on that.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, that's correct. The Library Commission, of course, is a countywide commission. Goleta has one representative, which, as you've noted, is an appointee of the council, which at this current time is Mrs. Sevis. The suggestion here is that she be allowed to participate in this effort. Of course, to eliminate a conflict, the council could suggest that you don't want that representative to participate. But that, you know, I think it's important that this overall investigation be as broad as possible so that we have multiple interests represented as we move forward with recommendations to the City Council and Board of Supervisors.
I believe the reason why she wasn't this particular position was included is to make sure that our message is conveyed countywide. And when we go to support for a measure, that's what we're going to want is a countywide support. It has, you know, there is no conflict in that there's no compensation. Any decisions to be made on this subject as far as our council be made by this council, not by me or not by her. So I don't understand where the conflict is. I thought we visited this when the appointment was made.
Mr. Mayor, perhaps I'm sensitive on that, on this point, not having been given the guidance I'd hoped to have by now.
The City Council is welcome to only have one appointee.
I would disagree with the concept of having one appointee. I don't think that would best serve us. Mayor Aceves, obviously it's surprising because, you know, didn't really consider that. I didn't consider that implication when I read the report, and I understand the council's position. It is, I guess, an overview saying let's eliminate any possibility of that. I would just say that if that's where we go, that you would not be part of that committee. You have been a wonderful advocate for the library. The passion and the focus that you have brought to the discussion has been of great benefit. I think this is a dramatization of the Brown Act in the sense that we couldn't have any communication about this issue amongst us to perhaps make this a little easier than doing this in this situation. And of course, that's how we do our business. So, it would be a shame to lose the mayor's input and even, you know, as a council person, Roger's input through the process has been all about the benefit of the library, and it would be a shame to lose that. If we're going to go all the way to this point of eliminating any possibility of potential perception of conflict, I understand that, and I will leave it up to you folks to make your nomination and your motions, and let's go forward.
Well, you know, there are two ways for me to go. One would be to say thank the council and withdraw my position. On the other hand, this is an area of interest to me, and I would, you know, I think There are many roles that we play as council members, and everybody on this council wears several hats in different committees, and this is a committee I would like to wear a hat on. Given that, in deep appreciation to the mayor and all that he has done in this area, I will nominate Councilmember Arnon as the second member of the committee.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Councilman Bennett seconded.
I second. Oh, you second.
Okay. Okay, let's go to council comments, standing committees. We'll start with Councilor O'Connell.
I'm not sure that I have any comments, but why don't you go on to somebody else and I'll check.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnon.
Council comments or standing committee comments?
Well, you can do both at this point.
Okay. Just so the council knows, on the Finance Committee of 819.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, I believe that was when the Finance Committee met with county staff and City of Goleta staff and City of Santa Barbara staff down.
In the library.
Right, to discuss the library with Supervisor Wolf.
Okay, so no additional information to report from that. On the Economic Development and Revitalization Committee, we did have an opportunity to meet. It was about our economic development strat plan that was presented to council. We worked with staff to incorporate the comments brought forward at that council meeting, and we're going to see some revisions to that. I think the committee will meet and be familiarized with those revisions before they come back, but I think we will have a document very shortly that the council will be able to review and decide if they will adopt that. So I'm looking forward to that. I think the meeting was very productive. Is there something you wanted to add on that, Ed?
I've worked with staff to incorporate my comments very cooperatively.
From my own council comments, one thing that I would like to throw on the table and see if we can have exploration is the possibility of our meeting time being adjusted to have a morning session, an afternoon session, evening session. I know there's discussion that has to occur. We have experienced quite often late evenings in our council sessions. I think those late evenings when the schedule is heavy become overly burdensome and also can impact our ability on decision making. So if we can go through a process with the community, with the staff, amongst in public session to determine if it's appropriate, but I'm thinking that perhaps if we have the ability to have morning with a lunch break, an afternoon session, and, you know, those things that are appropriate for evening sessions or do so, it may allow us not to have to extend, to 11, 12 o'clock at night when those tough decisions get even tougher. So I'd like to see if I could get some support to do an exploration of that.
Mr. Sumner, any other comments on that?
We'd be happy to return to the council with some different options. The current ordinance, speaking of your codifications, I believe calls for the two time-specific options. You can always establish a special meeting time, but we could return to the council for some further discussion about the opportunity to do a morning session, either as special meetings on special occasions or as a more uniform practice with certain parameters if the council would choose that. So I think the forecast for most of the remainder of the calendar year looks to be pretty balanced. So hopefully we can keep your agendas light enough that if it takes us 4 to 6 weeks to come back to you with that discussion, given other priorities, that can still keep to your regular schedule.
You know, having worked on the agendas with you in the last 9 months, I don't know that we've had the kind of workload to have three sessions. There have been some late meetings, but that's because discussions have gone long on some issues. I'm not too excited about changing the ordinance, but I certainly want to entertain special meetings if the workload requires it.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilman Bennett.
I would offer up a suggestion that maybe we look at it in terms of our executive meetings, our closed meetings, that those might lend themselves to the morning effort when those are called for, because those are not typically, we don't have those all the time, and we more recently have, but that hasn't been the normal case, and it would just seem that might lend itself to a morning get together and then take care of regular business in the afternoon and in the evening, and it still gives us some flexibility if there were further discussion necessary during that closed session time. So I just throw that out as an idea that might lend itself from a policy standpoint, that when those things are being scheduled, they would be scheduled for the morning and the regular agenda would then not be impacted by those, and I think we'd be in better shape. It's just a suggestion as a possibility.
I
Council Easton. I just received a letter from Randy Rosnes, who is Executive Director of the Goleta Valley Community Center, the whose board I sit on as a representative from the city. And Randy has been promising at various times over apparently the last 5 years to retire. This time he's put it in writing. And after 21 years, he will be retiring on January 31st, 2010. And I think a lot of people are going to miss him. I think it's going to mean some significant changes in how the community center is run. But I don't foresee any degradation of services or maintenance. And that's all I've got, Mr. Mayor.
Councilman.
I have no council member comments other than to say that, yes, I will miss Randy. He's been kind of a stalwart for Old Town Goleta for an awfully long time and a valuable member of our community in keeping things going and making things work. So no question, anytime there's a change or retirement by the possibility of things maybe not working out quite so well, occur or that potential occurs, but I have every faith that whoever steps up to the plate to take over will do just a fine job and continue on with the legacy that he certainly helped establish.
Can you come back to me now?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention a couple of things. I went to the opening of the Brandon School new auditorium, as did, I believe, Councilmember Bennett was there, and were you?
No.
Well, anyway, we were represented there, and one of the Goleta board members did mention that they were hoping that maybe we'd have a joint meeting at some point, and I believe the same is true with the Santa Barbara board. So it's not an immediate urgency thing, but I hope that we will look to scheduling those kinds of meetings in the future. And then, of course, today we had the whole presentation on the disaster preparedness project. And there was a really good representation from the Red Cross and the Chamber, as well as from the city. The mayor represented us very well there. And look forward to seeing that implemented throughout the city.
Mr. Singer, also, if you'd mention the issue about the school board meetings.
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. A couple of comments and piggybacking on Council Member Connell's remarks about our Goleta Prepare Now campaign. It's a campaign that kicked off officially today, September 1st. The month of September is actually National Preparedness Month, which is why we chose to start this effort now. And this entire effort is the result of a very healthy and worthwhile grant that we received through the Orfila Foundation. So this effort is being paid for primarily by Orfila with the partnership we've established with the Chamber of Commerce, the city, and the American Red Cross local chapter here in Santa Barbara County. We're very excited about the opportunity to help the community really focus on preparing their businesses, preparing their families, and one of the real exciting parts to me of this effort is to reach out to people that might not have the means to help their families to be prepared, the financial means or language barriers or access to the same means of family support and information needed to really ready your family. So we're putting together materials that'll be out in the community. You'll see tables set up with the Goleta Prepare Now booth at places like Osh and Home Depot, Kmart, the grocery stores in town, some of the drug stores in town throughout the month of September. This is just the first effort in a two-year-long campaign to help our community be more ready for disasters. So it's a very, very worthwhile effort, and we'll encourage members of the public to take part in that. And there'll be other initiatives that will be unveiled over the course of that two-year period. I have just a couple of other announcements. The first is that our Monarch Press comes out this week, You should have received it in the mail, but it was brought to my attention just today that there may be some residents in Goleta that are not receiving our what used to be our quarterly newsletter and now will be distributed every 4 months. So by way of announcement to our citizens that might be watching, if you don't receive our quarterly or our now three times a year publication called the Monarch Press in the mail, please let us know. And you can do that either with a phone call, and we'll make sure you're in the system, or an email to City Hall. We want to be sure our citizens are informed. Finally, I would just remind the council and the public that Monday is Labor Day. Our offices will be closed, and there'll be no other city government meetings that day. And then, as the mayor noted and Council Member Connell had requested, efforts are underway, in fact, to work on a joint City Council Santa Barbara School District meeting of the two elected bodies. We're looking at this fall as a possibility. Dates and details still to be determined. This was a request that the mayor had made beginning of the summer months. And if that effort is worthwhile and successful, then we would also look to the Goleta Union School District to maybe do a similar joint session, maybe on an annual or every other year basis, whatever need arises. So those efforts are underway. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Mr. Giles.
Mr. Mayor, I omitted something, if I might be pardoned and given a moment or two. Saturday night I had a date, and it's a date that I hope every member of the council might take advantage of. The corporal that sits over there is our gang officer, and he took me out for 6 hours and showed me a part of the world that I'm not all that familiar with, and educated me as to a tremendous amount of things that would be valuable for all of you to know. We have a patrol division, and we have special people, and they are all out there, especially, I guess, on Saturday nights. Is that right? On Saturday nights. And it's amazing, the network that you see operating. It's patrolling our streets, going by our houses and making sure that things are in order. Things weren't all in order in Old Town, that's for damn sure. We were down there on business within 3 minutes after he picked me up. If you haven't gone on a ride along, I strongly recommend that you do. You will see the reality of law enforcement in Goleta. And even a former uniformed officer, I think, would get a great deal out of seeing how our police department operates, because they do things you would not believe. And at least watching Sergeant Corporal Garrett operate, I was impressed all out of my socks. So I'm sure that the chief would be glad to arrange this for any of you. I know he would. He would be happy to have you out there. Thank you.
Mr. Charles.
Thank you. I wanted to provide a further update on AB 566, which you'll recall is the legislation addressing the mobile home subdivision statute. As I reported in our last meeting, it was prepared for a third reading in the Senate and final adoption. That's been continuing day to day as the various votes are being marshaled in that effort. In the interim, since we last spoke, I had an opportunity to author a letter with the County Council of Ventura County and the City Attorney for the City of Carson, addressing a number of issues raised by legal counsel for the mobile home park owners, and I've provided a copy of that letter to each of you. Hopefully, through these efforts, this legislation will work its way through the legislature and onto the governor's desk, and hopefully resolve some of the claims. It is interesting to note that a number of our neighbors, particularly the neighbors to the south, have been going down the same road that we went down previously, and finding little success in court. You'll recall from our discussions on this topic that there was one case that provided great hope, one trial court that had ruled in favor of a local agency which had attempted to apply additional conditions to a mobile home park subdivision, and that was in the county of Sonoma. That case was up on appeal, and we were waiting for that decision to come down. That decision did come down within the last week, and that ruling was adverse to the county, and so that makes pretty much unanimous of all court decisions relating to this issue. And so the last recourse is the legislative effort, and the city will continue to support the effort to make those modifications as necessary. That's the report I have.
Thank you. And
if I may, Mr. Mayor, I just want to thank Mr. Giles for this. It's been a sensitive issue in our community, and I think that with your signature on the support of AB 566 is really a plus, and that it gives everyone in the community that's affected by this, those mobile homeowners, a really feeling of support, that the city does, in fact, support them in this case. And once again, the court case has proved our hands were, in fact, tied, as we suspected they always were, and we were able to save some taxpayer money as a result of that and listening to the advice that was given, and that this really was a legislative fix. So with any optimism, we will see the governor ultimately sign this as it comes forward, and let's hope that he does. And anyone that's out there, you want to support the mobile home efforts for people to remain in their mobile homes on their choice, this legislation is very important to give them a chance. So thank you very much.
Mr. Giles, will you report us back into closed session, please?
This time there's a need for the council to reconvene in closed session to address two items, both public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 regarding city manager and city attorney. There is no reportable action expected.
Adjourned to closed session.
5 minutes.